Things are going on right now that just excite me in the Word of God. Amen. I'm seeing things happening in the world that is just really just getting me excited, knowing that Jesus' return is coming soon. So if we could have our release our children for children's church this time. Thought I forgot it, didn't you? Praise the Lord. And while they're going out, if you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going to talk about faith today. Anyone have any faith in here? That was pretty weak. Anyone have any faith in here? There we go. Now you're convincing me a little bit. Hebrews 11 starts out, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, because your word is our light. It is our guide. It illuminates our pathway, Father, and shows us the way to walk. So, Lord, we just ask you to open our ears, open our eyes, open our spirits to what you would say to us today. That, God, our lives too would have your testimony that we have faith. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, so we're going to talk. I titled my message this morning, "Developing and Exercising Extreme Faith." Now, extreme faith may tend to cause a lot of people to be just a little bit apprehensive, because we see we see the people who have exercised extreme faith, and we think we can't do it. We see people who have shown us what extreme faith looks like, the miracles that have happened, the preaching of the word, and thousands that are saved, and we think, but we're just not able. Well, I'm here to tell you, you are. Because none of those people did it on their own power. They did it on the faith. They believed that God had told them to do something, and they were going to do it. Amen? I want to look just a little bit at Abraham. Now, I remember, my title is "Developing and Exercising." You see, we can't exercise extreme faith until we develop it, right? Abraham is a perfect example. Turn to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now we know that Abraham is called the father of our faith, but Abraham, in the 12th chapter, this is what the word says. "And the Lord has said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this is God talking to Abram. His name hadn't been changed yet. Later on, God changes his name to Abraham. But he's talking to Abram, and we don't know the relationship at this point. But we do know that Abram heard God tell him to get up and leave his family and go to the place he's going to show him. Now, how many of you are ready this morning to get up, get out in your car, and drive somewhere until God tells you to quit driving? That'd be a pretty tough one, wouldn't it? But that's exactly what God told Abram. He said, Abram, I want you to go, and then I'll show you where. But Abram hadn't developed a great faith yet. He was beginning it, and he was getting ready to walk it. But as he walked out this faith, the first thing he did is he took Lot with him. Turned out to be a big mistake, by the way. But on the way, you know, there were a couple times that Abram lied about his wife Sarah. Sarai at this point. And so, you know, what I'm trying to explain to you is Abram had to develop his faith. Faith is a walk. It's something that we have, but it's not totally developed. And as we go, it's just something that grows and gets stronger and stronger as we see God working in our lives. Amen. I don't think I'm convincing you. Can you imagine if God had told Abraham at this point, now think about this, he's lied about his wife twice, saying she's my sister. If Abraham would have had a son at that point, do you think he'd have had the faith to take Isaac up and be willing to sacrifice him on the sacrifice when God told him to? I don't think so. I don't think he would do it because his faith wasn't developed far enough. But later, as his faith developed, he started exercising extreme faith until the place where God could tell him, Abraham, I want you to offer up your son on the altar. And Abraham didn't question it. And he picks up and he goes up the mountain. And his sons even question him, Father, we're going up to make a sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice? Can you imagine Isaac's reply, maybe, if Abraham would have looked at him and said, well, you're it, son. He didn't. He just says, God will supply. Because his faith had developed to the place that he knew God had told him to do something, he was going to do it. Amen? But, you know, a lot of times we think that these Bible characters that we read about, the disciples, we see their flaws. Do you know that God gave us their flaws for a reason? So that we could see they're the same as we are. So if they can do it, I can do it. Amen? The word faith in the Greek here is the word pistis, and it means a persuasion that is credence, a moral conviction of religious truth are the truthfulness of God or a religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Did you hear that? It is a persuasion. You see, if I'm persuaded that something is so, you cannot change my mind. Amen? Think about a child, maybe 3 or 4. I guess they don't go to kindergarten quite that early. 5 or 6 in kindergarten. And the kindergarten teacher says, "We're going to do some math today. And I want everyone to learn this. 2 and 2 is 5. How many of you think that child would believe that teacher? Because they haven't been persuaded yet that 2 and 2 is 4. But once that child knows that 2 and 2 is 4, I'll guarantee you the teacher's not going to persuade them that 2 and 2 is 5. Amen? And once we're convinced that this is the Word of God, that this is truth, there is nothing going to persuade us that this is not the truth in the Word of God. That's what faith is. See, it doesn't take a lot of faith to say 2 and 2 is 4. I mean, I can do that on my fingers. 1, 2, 1, 2. Oh, yeah, that is 4, right? So it doesn't take a lot of faith there. But sometimes when God tells us to do something, when we feel the unction of the Holy Spirit and our faith hasn't developed, sometimes that puts a little bit of apprehension and a little bit of fear into us. I'm sure that's what Abram was feeling. That's why he took Lot with him. Because he wasn't quite convinced. But see, if we're convinced, if we know that we know that we know, if we're convinced that the Word of God is true, all the precepts, as we develop, the Scripture says precept upon precept. In other words, it doesn't just blossom out one day and, oh, I got great faith. It takes us getting to realize that God Word is true. It takes us getting to realize that when he tells us something, he's going to see that we have the ability to complete it. Amen? Oh, but you don't understand. I don't have education. I don't speak well. I tried that one, didn't work. Moses tried that one, it didn't work. I mean, think about when God was talking to Moses at the burning bush. Moses grew up in the king's court. Think about this for a moment. He grew up in the king's court. He knew how to speak the language. And not just Egyptian, he knew how to speak the language of the king's court. He knew all the little things that go on there. He was uniquely qualified to walk in before the king. And yet he says, oh, I can't do it. I'm not educated. I don't have elegant speech. He gave all these excuses, and God said, don't worry about it. I got your back. I'm going to send Aaron with you. You can't speak? I'll get Aaron to speak for you. Because Moses hadn't developed his faith yet. Moses wasn't quite sure of how to go about getting the things that God wanted done. I don't know about anybody else, but I find myself in that situation quite often. And you know, I start praying and I say, God, are you sure? Are you really, really sure? And sometimes I'll go, God, are you really, really, really sure? You know, almost waiting until God says, well, not with you, I'm not, you know. But God's never said that. He says, I told you, and I've got you, and I'm going to make sure that you're equipped to do what I've asked you to do. But if my faith isn't developed, it'll never happen. We had a young man come, Mike Ewelson. He's a world's champion power lifter. I think it's power lifting. But he's 5-time world champion. This guy is about my size, not much bigger at all. He doesn't, you know, he's not all, you know, looking like a gorilla. And he came to the church, and the brochures that we sent out said, come to church tonight and watch Mike lift 1,000 pounds. You heard me right, 1,000. Now, when I first met Mike, I looked at him, and I went, seriously? 1,000 pounds? Yeah. So we went into the school, and he did some of the strongman things, tearing books, you know, phone books, that's what I'm thinking of, phone books apart and all this kind of stuff, and bending bars and getting the kids all impressed. And then I made an enemy of the school by inviting them all to church that night to watch him lift 1,000 pounds. Not that I cared, but, you know, that's the way it is. So Mike gets out there, and I helped him move these weights. They were not rubber weights. They were real weights. And he gets out there and he starts talking about, you know, developing. And he starts out with, you know, maybe a couple 100 pounds, I don't know. Does, you know, several lifts and a little bit more weight each time. And finally, as he's getting to it, and he's talking about the Lord the whole time, and he's got 1,000 pounds on this bar. 1,000 pounds. I'm not exaggerating. 1,000 pounds. I'm still impressed with it. And you watch him, and he bends down, and he starts to get his grip. Comes up and it just boom. I think it just to the waist. I can't remember. I'm old. I can't remember. But he gets this. No, wait a minute. It goes all the way up. Yes, it goes all the way up. So he gets this up to his waist. And I'm sitting there watching this guy. And this bar is literally going like this. And we're talking about a big bar. What are those bars? Anybody know? Anybody here a weightlifter? Have weightlifting stuff? Those bars are big. I mean, they're not half-inch bars. They're inch and a quarter, something like that. They're big bars. And this bar, he's holding it in his hand, and just past where each hand is, it's beginning to droop. And everybody's sitting there looking at it saying, there's no way he's going to put that above his head. But see, Mike had developed himself. He knew the technique. He knew the process. He warmed his muscles up. He'd been in competitions. He knew that he knew that he knew that he could put that bar up. And all of a sudden, he does whatever he does, you know, kind of squats down and jerks it up at the same time. The next thing you know, he stands up in triumph, 1,000 pounds above his head. But he didn't do that the first time he lifted weights. He developed it. Our faith is the same. We've got to develop our faith just by the sometimes the little things that God tells us to do. Well, you can do this. No, I can't. You can do this. No, I can't. But God says I can. And if God says I can, then I'll guarantee you I can. Because he never asks us to do something that he won't see to it that we have the abilities and the power through him to do. Amen? In Genesis, the 45th chapter, Genesis 45, verses starting at verse 5, it says, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Now let me tell you what's going on here. This is Joseph. He's been sold into slavery by his own brothers. Got jealous. He's sold into slavery. And as he was in slavery, he got accused of wrongdoing that he didn't do, and then he got put into jail. But the whole time, he was allowing his faith to build. Now, it might be a little bit difficult for most of us, and I probably have to raise my hand there too, to believe that when I get falsely accused and now I'm in prison, I'm not just a slave, now I'm in prison, and I didn't do nothing wrong, I might have a little bit of problem allowing my faith to start developing. Amen? To continue to develop. But Joseph, his faith kept developing. He didn't let the circumstances get to him. And all these things happen, the next thing you know is that Joseph is brought before the king, and now he's second in command. And as he's second in command, the famine is happening in the land outside of Egypt, and his family, the same ones that sold him into slavery now, are coming to him and begging for food. Anybody else find that ironic? And so, as they're in Egypt getting this food, this is what Joseph is telling them. They find out that it's their brother Joseph, and they're scared to death. Well, you would be too if you knew that the brother that you had sold into slavery now had the power to take your head off. Amen? Because the world says, we're going to get revenge now. That's not what Joseph said. Listen to what he says. "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Do you hear his attitude here? He says, this was God's plan. You guys meant for me to destroy me, but this was God's plan all along, because he knew that you're going to need somebody to take care of you. That is an amazing testimony of faith to me. He doesn't stop there. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years. In other words, he's telling them, you got five more to go, guys, in which there shall neither be earning, earing, or harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph saw things differently. He realized that God was working in his life, and as he allowed the word of God to continue to grow and his faith to grow, he knew that he knew that he knew that God had sent him there. But God didn't send him there to fail. God sent him there to become second to the king. God sent him there to be a preservation for his family. God sent him there with a mission. Even though I'm sure Joseph couldn't see the mission any more than we could, if when we read the story, we can't see the mission at first, but you have to get all the way through it before you can really see. And sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. We just don't know what God is doing and what God is working out in our lives. But if we trust, if our faith is built, if our faith begins to be exercised in all the little things that God wants us to do, he will bring us bigger and bigger and bigger until his plan unfolds totally in our life. Amen? But if we refuse to allow our faith to begin to develop, if we refuse to allow our faith to be tested, if we refuse to look and see what God is doing in our lives, we go nowhere. We go backwards. Now, how many of you read our daily Bible scripture Kelly puts out? A couple of you? All right, good. Now, we've been in Job for the past, 2 weeks? And, you know, Job has always intrigued me. In fact, when I think things are going bad, the first thing I do, I go in and I read the book of Job and say, yep, it ain't bad. It's not that bad. Amen? But there's something about Job that has always struck me. Through all the trials, through all the things that Job went through, never once did Job doubt God. Never once. His friends coming and, you know, society of his day said, well, if something bad happens to you, it's because of sin in your life. Most of us would probably say, okay, what sin did I do? Let me repent. But not Job. Job went and he says, no, I haven't sinned. I know I haven't sinned. Through the whole thing. Even when his own wife told him to curse God and die, he held to his faith. He knew that he was righteous with God. See, there is no pride in knowing that you are righteous with God. Because the scripture tells us it's the righteousness of Jesus. It's not me. It's the righteousness of Jesus. Amen. So there's no pride in saying I'm righteous with God. Otherwise, Job would have been wrong, right? But he wasn't. But he knew because he'd been exercising his faith. In fact, his faith was so strong that God was bragging on him. I said, God, I don't need you bragging on me, please. Amen? I don't need you bragging on me because I don't need the trouble. But boy, wouldn't it be such a great thing to realize that God trusts me enough I'm sure Job was wondering what was going on, but can my faith withstand it? Is my faith developed enough that I can stand and go through the things that Job went through? Is my faith developed enough that I can hear the Lord tell me to go here, to go there, and know that I have the ability to do that? Think about our foreign missionaries. Man, our foreign missionaries, they got faith. I want you to go to this land over here, and, you know, you're just going to have to trust the church to provide for you. And I've known many, many, many missionaries that have gone across the oceans and listened to their stories about how God provided supernaturally times when it looked so bleak. And God does the same for us. He will provide for us even when it looks so bleak. But we've got to develop our faith. We've got to allow the things that God has told us to do to begin to take root within our spirits, so that when things come against us, we know that we're in God's will, that we're doing what God told us, that God is working, even when it doesn't look like things are going quite right. I'm going to stop this here because there's no way I'm going to finish this, because we're going to look at the seven steps to developing our faith, the seven steps to exercising our faith. We're just going to have to pick this up next week, because there are things that we need to do to develop our faith. It's not just something that just plops into us one day and, oh, we're Smith Wigglesworth or Peter or Paul or any of the other great men and women of God. It just doesn't happen that way. So if I could have the prayer team come forward. If you're here today, maybe you're here today and you, kind of like John said, you don't know the Lord. You've never embarked upon the pathway to start developing your faith. Scripture says today is the day. Now is the time. This is the time we can embark on allowing that faith to begin to develop in our lives. If that's you, we want to open an invitation. Come and pray. We will introduce you to the developer. Amen. If you're here today and you have issues you're facing, whether big or small, it doesn't matter. Big or small, God cares for them all. You have things you're facing, whether they're physical or financial or spiritual. God wants to touch your life. He wants to be strong in your life, to move where you need His moving. You want that out of the way? I want to ask you to come forward. Get with one of our prayer team. Let them pray with you. Let them pray for you. Sometimes, anybody ever get to the place they just don't know how to pray? That's when we need someone to pray for us. To lift us up. If everything's okay, you just want to come and pray, the altars are open. Ask you to come and spend some time before the Lord.